Welcome to the CCTA Wake-Up Call. Thank you for joining us. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Glenn Fink.
Now the question was, who gets to go first? I think that was the operative question.
Really? Because I think Mary was going to go first and talk about the speaker's race.
Okay, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, and the news has just come down that the House of Representatives has a new Speaker of the House. He is Representative Mike Johnson, and he was elected with all of the Republican votes and none of the Democrat votes, which is not surprising at all. And I really don't know that much about him.
He's from Louisiana.
I'm just glad that they finally elected somebody. He is, from what we understand, he is a conservative. He is from Louisiana. He's a graduate from LSU and Louisiana State University. His law degree is from LSU. And he has been in Congress since 2017. Before that, he was a Louisiana State Representative.
He was also a conservative radio show host.
Really?
That's interesting.
Before he went to law school or afterwards?
I don't know the timing of it, but that was what I heard.
That's
interesting. No, we need to throw in the anecdotal stuff also. Back last week, LSU played Army in football. And LSU, in order to honor Army, painted the Army black and gold on the end zone. However, Army never got to visit the end zone. They lost 63-0.
Oh, dear. The Army. And you know what? I just saw a snippet of an interview on Fox News where they were interviewing a retired general, and he was asked, are we ready to go to war against Iran? And he said, no, we're at our lowest point ever.
So, that's true.
So the Army, not only the virtual Army, but the Army, not ready.
It's not ready for prime time, yeah.
It hasn't been for a while. And part of that is spending, but part of that is also the misuse of the money.
Well, part of it is our stuff is in Ukraine.
Well, that's
all our weapons.
Wokeism has taken part of the money.
And how much did we leave behind in Afghanistan?
Right.
But wokeism has cut down recruiting tremendously. The only service that has reached its quotas, I believe, is the Marines.
Yeah, the Air Force didn't meet theirs.
Nobody else did. So it's a challenging person, a challenging time. And I don't know that we have any answers to that other than get back to a military whose job it is to win wars and break things.
Well, you know, at West Point, they now have DEI courses.
Yes, I know.
And how do they, you know, my question is, how do they expect these cadets to turn into officers that are willing to die for a country they've just taught them is evil?
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. We need to understand that the melting pot means the melting pot. We came to America. All of us
came from somewhere.
Our ancestors arrived. I don't see any Native Americans at the table here. All of us came from somewhere, and we came with the idea that we would assimilate and that we would contribute to American society, and that we would become worthwhile citizens. And somewhere along the line, we've lost that concept. And if we were so ugly, why are people streaming across our border? If we're so awful, why are people screaming? They're coming one way. They're not screaming to go out. They're screaming to go in.
You're not supposed to ask that question, Mary.
Unfortunately, there's a subset of that whole group that is coming for
nefarious reasons
that we
yes.
don't know. And I got one comment on Paul, and that is he was endorsed by Trump.
You mean Mike Johnson?
Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson. I don't know why I said Paul. Mike Johnson, he was endorsed by Trump. And
he won anyway.
He's got a close relationship with him.
Well, you know, it almost sounded like Trump was going to endorse Emmer. He goes, oh, I like him. He's a good guy. He said he supported me.
He stayed out of it till the last minute.
All the while he was anti-Trump.
Now one quick, this came from Todd Starnes reflecting on the new speaker coming in. He said the first thing speaker-designate Mike Johnson did last night was to ask the Republican caucus to pray with him. This is exactly what we need at this exact moment, conservative pundit Monica Crowley said. And the irony is that if you look back at the Constitutional Convention, the original Constitutional Convention, when everything was going haywire, and I'm going to say Ben Franklin, not necessarily considered the most religious of all of the folks, he asked everybody to stop and pray, and that's when they came to some kind of unanimity.
Yeah. Unanimity.
Okay. Yeah, easy. Okay.
It's easy for us to say.
Now, are we going, Pat? Just take over, please.
Oh, well, thank you. Blah 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 blah. I had brought an article that I got out of American Thinker, and this was since I was on last week to talk about propaganda and how many lies we're expected to believe nowadays. You know, like men can be women and women can be men. This was about politics, and the article is called Five Lies Our Government Wants Us to Believe. One, NATO is not moving one inch eastward. Well, the reason this whole thing started with Ukraine is because Ukraine, we were trying to get them into NATO. They're right on Russia's border. I think Ukraine is eastward of NATO.
Yeah.
So that's a lie. Number two, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We didn't find any, but we needed somebody to make the argument that we should go in there, and that whole invasion
now,
was...
And also, wait a minute. I want to comment on that. The New York Times,
oh dear,
about a year later, ran an article that they did find those weapons in Iraq.
Well, there's...
And the George Bush administration decided not to make an issue of it.
Well, there have been people taking both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But until I see proof,
you
I don't see
proof.
Any proof, and I don't believe anything the New York Times says. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, number three, Trump-Putin collusion. We were supposed to think that Trump was a Putin agent. That is a fake story. Number four, Hunter Biden's laptop has all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation when the FBI knew it was true, the 51 operatives that signed the letter saying it was Russian disinformation, they all knew it was true.
You know, and they still will not disavow that letter, right?
Some, like one has, but he said, well, I'm not sorry I signed it.
Are you talking about Leon Panetta?
Yeah, Leon Panetta.
Because he was on the news, and he said, well, I knew it was false, but I'm not sorry I signed it.
Yeah, Leon Panetta. You would think somebody
integrity
would...
is not an option for some people.
Yeah, you would think somebody with his stature,
would have some
even
integrity.
If he thought it, wouldn't say it in public. And then number five, military and financial backing of Ukraine for as long as it takes is meant to support that country's democracy, when in reality, the goal was to weaken Russia, who dared to reject the U.S. claims to global hegemony. So that's our current day propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And remember the definition, government-directed information that's intended to put forth their version. And if you don't agree with their version, what is it? You're a racist, you're a conspiracy nut, you know, fill in the blanks. So I just wanted to add that to our discussion last week about propaganda.
Well, I want to go back to Ukraine for just a minute and look at what Ukraine does, the side effects of the money that we're pouring into Ukraine. First of all, it's taking money away from our defense, taking money away from our military. Second of all, the expenditure of weapons is causing our defense contractors to have to make more weapons, so they're making a mint. Their PACs, they have political action committees, are donating all kinds of money that they're earning into the campaign coffers of both Republicans and Democrats. This is a bipartisan mess. We can't blame either party for it. So this is actually in some ways, a money laundering scheme. And Ukraine, I hate to say this, Ukraine does not have a prayer in standing up to Russia. Our best bet is a reasonable truce. And the Biden administration has fought that from the beginning. There was an offer early on in the war to come to the table and talk peace, and the Biden administration nixed it. Because the money is, there's just too much money floating around there that's unaccounted for. And when Congress was asked to pass a law demanding accountability for how the money was spent, it was voted down.
By Democrats.
We know from a CBS News article that the money is not going to the military in Ukraine necessarily. They're paying people's salaries. They're supporting small businesses. They're paying civil servant retirement accounts.
Where did that article come from, Mary?
This actually came from CBS News.
Okay. I think that's, we're going to add that as number six of lies we're expected to believe, because the Democrats like to make that argument, it's for the children.
Well, but we're also in the situation now where they're going to take credit because we're making more humane weapons. When I say more humane weapons, that means ineffective weapons. So
yes. Mm-hmm. Well, this article, just so if people want to go find it, September 24th, CBS News/news/USA-Ukraine-60-minutes-transcript. It was on 60 Minutes. This is a, you know.
Is that a reliable site?
I don't trust anything 60 Minutes does either.
Well, I don't know. You know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then.
On that statement, we're going to stop and hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back.
The thing that is the most disturbing to me about what's going on right now in Israel and the Gaza Strip, Israel has been prevented from retaliation. After what happened on October 7th, the United States is playing a big role on that. We're saying things like, well, you can't go in until we make sure all our bases in the area are well protected by air, and you don't want to go in as long until they release all the hostages, and it's a stalling tactic.
You know that to interrupt. Okay, I was reminded by somebody's meme or whatever else back on 9/11. You did not hear somebody say, "Well, I really support both sides." That was something that was not said, mm-hmm. and shouldn't be said now.
And the journalists the other day were asked to go in and watch the body cam footage from the October 7th.
You mean the autopsies?
No, I mean the body cam footage of the events of October 7th.
Who was wearing body cam?
The insurgents, the Gaza insurgents or Hamas insurgents had body cam. They confiscated those cameras.
Oh, okay. So they did take, 48 of them hostage?
Yeah, they showed those to the media. Some of the media left the room because they couldn't deal with it. Others were crying. The reports don't contain the videos, but there was one article that I posted on Right Wing Granny that did have a video of a child's backpack that they had booby-trapped, hoping that an Israeli child would pick it up and it would blow up in them. So these are not people looking for a military victory or attacking an army. These are attacking innocent civilians. And Israel has been forced by the international community to delay its response. And the European Union has voted to increase the humanitarian aid to Gaza by 50 million euros. Now, that brings the total to over 75 million euros. Now, we will continue our close cooperation with the UN and its agencies to ensure that this aid reaches those in need in the Gaza Strip. That is a joke.
Well, this goes along with Karine, what's her name, the spokesperson for
yes.
Biden. She said that the problem that Biden has expressed is the problem with Islamophobia here in the U.S. The question she was asked was, do you think anti-Semitism will increase in the U.S.? And her answer was, well, we're worried about Islamophobia. And apparently the European Union is too. And so, but, you know, Biden's already pumped millions into Gaza Strip for humanitarian aid. He gave them $33 million during COVID.
Do they really believe that this is going toward humanitarian aid? And the other side of that,
another
the
lie.
The EU needs to be concerned about Islamophobia because the immigration that has come to their countries is such that they are in danger of losing their countries.
They're overturning elections.
Yes.
The right is taking over because people are concerned about immigration.
And in Sweden, they're telling girls that look Swedish not to go out alone.
They're telling German women the same thing.
And there's areas where the normal police forces of the area are not allowed to go. The no-go zones.
Mm-hmm. So it's...
We're going to have some here.
We do have some here.
We already do.
Yeah, but with the number of people coming across our southern border, they're going to create more no-go zones in our cities.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But the thing is here, people are not thinking. We are not dealing with innocent victims here. The Palestinians, and first of all, there's no such thing as Palestinians. They're Jordanians, but we will do that another time, who live in the Gaza Strip, elected Hamas to represent them. From the time the Gaza Strip was turned over to those people, they have trained their children from kindergarten on to be terrorists and to drive Israel into the sea. The only answer to this, and I don't even know how you would do it, is find an island out in the middle of nowhere with a reasonable climate and put them all there, make sure they can't get off, make sure they have a way to get food and medical supplies, and just let them create their own society and wish them luck.
And you know that darn well doesn't work because there were, the Uyghurs, was it?
Uyghurs are in prison in China.
Some of them are in Bermuda.
In Bermuda, they were sent to Bermuda as their exiled country, and they've opened
They opened a coffee
tiki
shop.
Bars
last
or
I heard, they were running a tiki bar. No, this was
free when, markets, baby, free markets.
Well, this was when Obama was president, and he was trying to evacuate Guantanamo, and he wanted to send the Uyghurs back to China. China wouldn't take them. They were evidently British citizens. Britain wouldn't take them. So he negotiated a deal where he sent them to Bermuda. There were three of them. And last I heard, they were running a tiki bar or a coffee shop in Bermuda. So they're doing, and they were captured on the battlefield. So they are doing a whole lot better there than they would in any other location they could have been sent for. I don't have an update on that. If somebody has an update on the Uyghurs in Bermuda, please leave a comment on www.cctaxpayers.com because I would like to hear it. And while we're talking about Hamas, the previous Hamas leader is living in London in a two-story state-funded home worth about $390,000. That's one previous leader of Hamas. The current leader of Hamas is living in Qatar, or Qatar, depending on how you pronounce it. And he has also positioned himself well out of the range of fire while he creates all kinds of chaos in the Gaza Strip.
The guy that planned this and put together the incursion into Israel, though, is in the Strip. He's not hiding in another country.
Oh, he's in the Strip.
Okay. He's in the Strip.
I think, Pat, one of the things that sort of relates to that, apparently almost 100% of the planning was done mouth-to-mouth. Nothing was transmitted electronically in this planning process. So it's not like we could eavesdrop on the electronics thing because they decided they wouldn't use electronics.
Well, because Israelis speak the languages. They have people that speak their languages that they use in the Strip. And that's what they've traditional infiltration, signals intelligence to follow what's going on. And they fixed that problem. The Palestinians said, we'll just talk to each other. It's like sending letters. You can't listen to letters either.
So. And there was no increase in chatter because they weren't chattering.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, we have to go back to the pre-electronics era to get anything done secretly now. That's the way it is.
And by the way, we, Mary and I, in full disclosure, Mary and I were not properly tracked yesterday because we went out to visit someone else. And both of us left our cell phones at home, so we were not properly tracked.
You can always turn the location off, but then your GPS won't work.
Well, we were probably tracked because we were in his car, which is new enough so that it's probably being tracked. My car is old enough, although you tell me that I probably am tracked. I thought I was old enough to avoid that, but evidently not.
Kim and I are good.
He's driving an old banger. He's good.
Well, I would figure that 2010 would be old enough, but it's not. It still has Bluetooth in it, and that's all you need.
Bluetooth and the equivalent of OnStar in that era. Mm-hmm. Where are
and
we going?
I have one more comment on humanitarian aid to Gaza. If you have a bank robber holding hostages, do you send him coffee, donuts, and lunch?
Sometimes, depending on the status of the negotiations. You keep them talking. Hostage negotiators will tell you the longer you keep them talking, the more chance you have of having a better outcome. So if they're asking for food, you give them food. You just don't give them a getaway car and $100,000. But if they want donuts, hey, no problem.
Well, does that apply here?
Oh, to Hamas?
Yes.
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
I was thinking about this early this morning about let's compare it to World War II, how we fought World War II, which is the last war we ever won. You fight all out, and you don't take breaks and allow the other side to reposition their forces or increase their forces or replenish their armaments. You put the pressure on, and you keep them at a disadvantage until they finally crumble.
You're fighting for a conclusion, not just a low point, but for a conclusion.
Right. So, but you said that Israel is not going in. I heard it a little bit online today. They're bombing.
Good.
They're using missiles. They're looking for buildings that have Hamas in them.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to avoid ones that might have hostages or that are, you know, civilian, mainly civilian. They're certainly not bombing hospitals.
Well, they're not going in scorched earth yet.
Well, so the Air Force, I mean, the air mission has been going on since the beginning,
mm-hmm.
missiles and all. But I heard today, this afternoon, whether it is accurate or not, that they're close to going in ground game.
I hope so, because I wonder how well taken care of the hostages are being. The Americans might be, but certainly they're not showing mercy to the Jewish hostages.
Did you hear about the 80-year-old woman that was released? She was fed every other day a diet of cheese and cucumbers.
Oh, dear.
And continued to be beaten in her ribs, although a doctor visited her.
Yeah. So they're not known for their humane treatment of hostages.
Well, and the thing on this ground game, Biden basically in his speech today said, you know, encouraged them not. And
Netanyahu.
Yeah. Said, we're going in.
Yes.
I remember Entebbe. I'd like to see them do it again.
Yes. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat?
Okay. This is an article from the Gateway Pundit, which I like. I watch them every day. And the title is Vile: Barack Obama Slams Israel's Response to Hamas Terror Attack and Takes a Shot at America in an Infuriating Article. He published an article about thoughts on Iran or Israel and Hamas. And first he pretends to support Israel. He says, but even as we support Israel, we should also be clear that how Israel prosecutes this fight against Hamas matters. So, yeah, let's support them, but what? He next takes a shot at the greatest country in the world, which he once represented as president. Note the moral equivalence he draws between America and less civilized countries. He says, this is an enormously difficult task. War is always tragic, and even the most carefully planned military operations often put civilians at risk. As President Biden noted during his recent visit to Israel, America itself has at times fallen short of our higher values when engaged in war, and in the aftermath of 9/11, the U.S. government wasn't interested in heeding the advice of even our allies when it came to the steps we took to protect ourselves against Al-Qaeda. So he's always got to bury that needle. Okay. Yeah, we support Israel, but, and he goes on in that same vein about it's a growing humanitarian crisis, and the Israeli's government decision to cut off food, water, and electricity to a captive civilian population threatens not only to worsen a growing humanitarian crisis, it could further harden Palestinian attitudes for generations, erode global support for Israel, play into the hands of its enemies, and undermine long-term efforts to achieve peace and stability in the region. The article says this is the same population that elected Hamas to begin with.
Yes.
But this is pure Obama. He's always got to start with his, he seems to take a clear position, then he equivocates, then he compares us like there's a moral equivalency.
This is the art of community organization. Yes, yeah. because he would start community organizations just to undermine somebody else.
But we need to remember what started this whole thing. We need to remember why we're talking about Israel attacking Gaza. And we need to remember the brutality of what started this whole thing.
Well, remember, that shot at America was, well, we went in and killed civilian in the aftermath of 9/11, so we don't have any moral
But they
position.
Aimed at civilians.
Now,
the Twin Towers were not a military target.
Now, folks, I'm going to bring up an extremely sore subject. We're New Englanders that relocated down here. But, you know, at one time, believe it or not, Sherman's philosophy was right. He wanted to make war so horrible, nobody wanted to go to war again. Now, was he right or wrong? He wanted to show that we don't want to do this ever, ever, ever again.
Yeah, he's referring to Sherman's March to the Sea, where he burned and
yes.
tore down everything in its path.
In its path. And yes, now, was that right?
We're not going to touch that.
Not going to talk about that.
But that's I mean, again, we need to keep in perspective who started this.
Yes.
They did not go after military targets. 9/11, the only military target that was successful in 9/11 was the Pentagon. The trade centers were not military targets. They were civilian targets.
You know, in interviewing, and I'm going to say in interviewing or interrogating some of the Hamas perpetrators right now, they said, well, we have been instructed not to kill women and children. However, if I remember correctly, in their definition of women and children, they do not consider the Jewish population to be people. So therefore, you're not harming women and children if you do something drastic to the Jewish population.
Which is how Nazis got away with it.
Which is how the Nazis got away with it. So they have redefined the terms, and we're going to go back to Bill Clinton's is. What does is mean? What does women and children mean? So let's not fall for that ruse.
Well, they're infidels. And I don't know if I mentioned the verse of the sword, which is the last verse in the Quran, that tells Muslims they must seek out the children of the book, Christians and Jews, and beleaguer them always. And the job is to kill them all, unless they're willing to submit. And the word Islam means submission. So until you submit, you're an infidel, which means you're a non-person.
You are not, yeah.
So, and do you get back to the question of how do you make peace with someone who wants to drive you into the sea?
And why are we pretending that Hamas will negotiate? They're only following the Quran, which we mentioned last week, which was if you're militarily weak, you pretend to negotiate until you get strong, and when you're strong, you attack them and attempt to drive them into the sea.
Yeah, that's called hudna. That is a principle of Islam. Hmm. Okay, I want to talk about another aspect of the what happened on October 7th. And we've all heard the reports. It was awful. There were innocent people at a festival that were attacked for no reason. There were Hamas people dressed up as IDF to lure people in so they could kill them. It was just awful. But I want to talk about Kibbutz Nir Am, which is a settlement located near the Gaza Strip. And there was a lady in that kibbutz named Inbal Rabin Lieberman. She was a 25-year-old security coordinator. And she had a gun. And after the kibbutz came under attack, she opened the armory, distributed guns to the 12-member security team, and fought Hamas. Now, Hamas was not aware, they were not expecting any kind of armed resistance. She killed five terrorists while the other members of her team gunned down 25 before the Israeli Defense Force arrived. And Nir Am was the only settlement bordering the Gaza Strip that did not suffer Israeli casualties during Hamas's attack. Now, there were over 1,400 Israelis killed during that attack. Only 3% of Israeli citizens own guns. 32% of U.S. citizens own guns. Israel has strong gun laws. And the Daily News, the New York Daily News, reports that less than 1%, 0.5%, of New York City residents have legal handguns, and Jews comprise approximately 9% of New York City's population. They are the largest Jewish community in the world outside of Israel. So having people armed made a difference. And if you remember during World War II, the Japanese emperor Hirohito made the comment, he was asked why he didn't directly attack America, why he went to Pearl Harbor instead, and he said, behind every blade of grass in America is an American with a gun. We need to be armed. but this, I mean, if you want an argument why we need the Second Amendment, after what you saw in Israel and the fact that our southern border is wide open, I don't think you could make a better argument.
I don't need an argument.
There you go, Second Amendment. I heard a snatch of a interview between Hannity and a special forces dude that does hostage rescue. And he was making the point that part of the power of America is not only its military, but an armed populace.
Yes.
And which is the same point that you've just made. And I agree with you that one of the problems with the attacks on Israel were their gun control landscape. They have some of the strictest gun control laws in the world. Citizens who want to own a firearm have to meet a series of specific criteria, undergo comprehensive background checks, receive mandatory training. Now, the illegal guns in Israel are almost entirely in the hands of Arabs. Anybody surprised by that? No. So it's always easy to attack people that you don't expect any pushback from. So largely unarmed populace, civilian populace, you go in and surprise, you slaughter them all, you get out before the IDF forces show up.
Bingo. Before some armed person comes up. It's just like in in this country, you know, why do you have a concealed carry? Because that's a lot, it's a lot quicker than me waiting for 15 minutes for a police officer to come.
Yeah. I mean, 3% of the population owns, Israeli population owns guns. This surprised me because everybody serves in the Israeli army. And you would think that after they served, they would be able to take their guns home because their country is constantly under...
Only the currently serving.
Well...
I mean, every as we've seen, there's 360,000 reservists that were called up, and they would be armed as being called up. But again, in their civilian role...
Yeah, no. 80-year-old grandma, she doesn't have a gun.
A lot of what you said, we have... for our own gun ownership. So there's something beyond background checks, got to be trained, that there's something beyond that.
It's the our Constitution that gives us a God-given right to defend ourselves.
Well, I understand we got the Constitution. All I'm saying is the
there
things you said,
another restriction.
There's more restrictions
there
than the things I heard you read.
There must be more restrictions preventing.
Well, that's just it. Israelis don't have a right to self-defense. Their
no.
government doesn't grant them that right.
They don't
Which
grant
is
that.
Amazing.
And here our Constitution prevents the government from taking that right from us.
And it's amazing that Israel doesn't have that right, considering the history of Israel.
Folks, we're going to stop and take another quick break. Again, this is a CCTA wake-up call. Thank you for staying with us.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're really going to shift gears right now. I'm going to bring up another topic. I happen to be a radio amateur extra, and we're just now in the situation where... we've been notified that the FCC has proposed changes in the rules for amateur operations on what's called the 60-meter band. Now, amateur radio licenses allow you to operate, whether it's in voice or code or what's called FT8, a lot of different modes on different frequency sets of frequencies. And in this situation, the FCC wants to take back essentially the 60-meter band, which is a very limited band. Right now, amateurs are allowed to use 5 specific channel areas within that, and we're secondary users to the government. The government wants to take it back by proposing changes that will lower our allowable power limit from 100 watts to 15 watts instead, which, of course, would very, very much so limit the range of communications. And so the Pat, you wanted to you'd mentioned adding, what is amateur radio? What's it good for? Well, I'll tell you what. As soon as a hurricane comes through here, and the dishes for all of our cell towers just turn a couple of degrees, radio amateur is the only communication that we have going back and forth, because it doesn't require the microwave dishes. It requires individuals, again, voluntary individuals, not paid, communicating with each other, trying to assess damage, coordinate forces, talking with someone out of the area so you can get relief into the area of that. So radio amateurs, even though they're not a formal part of government, they are a great aid in hazardous or whatever.
Well, it's a factor in our national security.
In national security.
Another factor,
yeah.
And if the feds put all their apples in one basket, it weakens us further.
Yes, yeah. And a basket that they're in control of. By the way, they might be able to censor the internet or censor Meta or whatever they
Facebook, etc.
Right now, the amateur is somewhat free to go. We're not allowed to use certain language. Not allowed to use it for commercial purposes. But again, anytime you've got to communicate, there's ongoing groups that try to keep communications going, even try to send messages all the way across the country and all the way back a couple of times a day, so that if the infrastructure that we currently have failed, we could still get messages from coast to coast.
Do you know what an R390 is?
I don't.
It's an old AM radio. And when I was in Berlin in 1974, we were still using them because long-haul airplanes used AM.
Used AM.
And mm-hmm. we were listening to them on our R390s, which we got from World War II. It was a big gray contraption that slid into a rack, right? And then outside, we had all the FM antennas. But the AM was still very much in use.
And by the way, for anybody else that's interested, not interested in amateur radio, but right near us up in Greenville is the center for the
Voice of America.
Voice of America, their transmission center, worldwide transmission center, is right up there in Greenville if you ever want to visit something.
Are they AM or FM?
Mostly AM.
Right.
Worldwide.
Right.
I, as the dumb blonde in residence, I have a question. Explain to me in kindergarten terms, if you can, the difference between 100 meter and 15 meter, because I don't understand that at all.
100 watts and 15 watts.
That's okay.
Okay. You do know the difference very, very easily. When you sit down to read a book, are you reading under a 15-watt light bulb or a 100-watt light bulb? You know the difference.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Now, it's not like 100 watt appears to be... six times brighter than a 15-watt bulb. But boy, you know the difference in what you're able to read. So just take that and try to put that into radio terms.
Yeah, it's power.
And it's power. It's power. It's how much force you have to get the signal out.
So power gives you distance?
Power gives you distance. Now, if you looked at an electric stove, and I was to give you an electric stove that only had 15 watts of power, how long does it take to do a hamburger? It takes maybe an awful long time.
A week, maybe?
The meat is rotted before you
So let's put it in those those terms.
Okay. That's great.
Okay, so what they're doing is they're cutting down your ability to communicate over distance.
On certain frequencies to communicate over distance. And again, this is a shared frequency with the government anyway.
Is there a justification for this?
Yeah, because they want to use it.
To make money, right?
Probably to make money. Probably to lease those frequencies out to somebody else.
And it's short-sighted.
And it's short-sighted.
It's like most of the stuff our government does. It's short-sighted. Mm-hmm. Because, like you said, ham radio used to be very important as a part of our national security strategy. And it had been used. And before we all went FM, airplanes used it. I don't know if they still do. Do they?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably. It's all digital, really.
Right. So if we put all our apples in that FM basket, we will be sorry. Eventually.
By the way, it's not unlike, digressing an awful lot, it's not unlike the folks, I just read about somebody that rented a car up at the Raleigh airport, and they rented an electric car and came down here to visit in New Bern, and they had never had an electric car before. When they got the car, it did not have a full charge in it. They were told to go out, look up Google where to charge the thing. They came down here. They didn't know where to charge it, wherever else. They had to make it back to Raleigh to make another flight. Well, what do you do in that circumstance? Well, folks, don't put all of your eggs in an electric car basket.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that would ruin your day. Now, for something totally different. The American Academy of Pediatrics is being sued. They're being sued by a 20-year-old who is a former transgender patient. She's suing her doctors and the academy after she went through hormone treatments in her teens. The lawyers say that they lied about the impact of the sex change treatments they recommended. She was pumped with testosterone and underwent hormone therapy when she was a young teenager. She is suing, saying that the doctors and the American Academy of Pediatrics lied about the impact of the treatments it recommended. Now, she's 20 years old, and she had just turned 14 when she was committed to the hospital for suicidal thoughts. It was during that hospital stay that she met with a doctor who determined that she met the criteria to consider hormonal transition. The only stated option was parental consent.
Obstacle, yes.
Obstacle, I'm sorry. So they sent her down the path of gender-affirming therapy rather than addressing the root of the problem. 6 months into the treatments, she tried to commit suicide. So obviously they weren't successfully dealing with this. Now I bring this up because this is the only way that we're going to end this transition madness is through the kids who've been put through this and now have grown up and said, wait a minute, I wasn't old enough to make that decision and now I regret it, to do the lawsuits. Let's sue the doctors, let's sue the hospitals, let's sue the American Association of Pediatrics and get these people accountable. A transgender patient, if they're transitioned at, say, 14, is a patient for the rest of their life because the body is frantically trying to get them back to what they're created to be. Their DNA has not changed. Their body is fighting to bring them back to normal. So they are a lifelong medical patient, and the pharmaceutical hospital industry makes a tremendous amount of money on these patients.
You know, one other thing that I want to bring in there from what you read was the only obstacle was getting parental consent. And look at it today, because now often parents are not even allowed to know that the school is trying to transition them. Folks, we need to get out there.
Well, I don't know how the doctors and the lawyers get around the law that says if you're under 18, you have no ability to contract. You do not have the capacity to give consent. And I don't understand how they get around that, whether they call it therapy or not. You still have to give informed consent if you're having any kind of medical treatment. Did she have a surgery as well?
I don't think so. I mean, my kids had to have my consent to get their ears pierced.
Well, but is that state statute? Because we've had recent statutes through our state legislature.
It's biblical.
Well, yeah, but that's half the country doesn't abide by that.
By that, I mean it came through the Bible to English common law. English common law was came to America and was enacted by statute. We adopted English common law by statute.
So is it federal?
No.
Or is it state?
State law.
Yeah, but all state laws are probably not the same.
No, they're not.
And we had to put legislation in to try to stop this. So I'm not so sure North Carolina is as locked down on this topic as other states.
As we want to believe, yeah.
Well, it's irrelevant whether it's transgender nonsense. It's the fact that, you know, you can't even vote if you're not 18. You can't vote. You can't sign a contract. You can't rent an apartment. You can't rent a
car.
Those
are all separate statutes.
But
it's all
based on if you're not 18, you have no legal authority to contract.
But it isn't that broadly accepted.
Yes.
I understand your point.
It is by your malpractice carrier.
Well, maybe so. I'm just saying they felt the need to have NC state statutes to
parents be aware. Parents be aware of what's going on in your schools.
That even I'm going to say even many of your school boards are not aware of what's going on within the school itself, and within the philosophy of the teachers. Let's look at Harvard. Right now is the bad boy on the block because so many people have withdrawn their funding for Harvard because their real theory has been exposed. Folks, that's all the time that we have right now, and thank you again for staying with us. This is the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, CCTA, Wake Up Call.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.